Hello, I'm Jeff Drew, a senior editor with the AICPA's Journal of Accountancy. You're listening to the JFA podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. In today's podcast, we are pleased to bring you the second part of our annual JFA Accounting Technology Roundtable. This year, we are focusing on kind of taking a look into the future on how the transformative technologies of today, data analytics in automation and blockchain and artificial intelligence is all going to work together to transform the accounting profession. In our first installment, we talked a lot about those technologies and the types of changes they will make to services and the way accountants do business. In today's installment, we're going to focus in on how it's going to affect the staffing for accounting firms and for accounting departments across, you know, all industries, really. And then we will go into what CPAs need to be doing today to prepare for this future, which is very exciting, but also can be a little bit scary. So we will jump back in right now. And as a reminder, our panel today is Al Anderson. He is a CPA who owns the accounting and insurance advisory firm Accountability and also leads the AICPA Rutgers Data Analytics Initiative. Rick Richardson, he is the CEO and founder of Richardson Media and Technologies. And Amanda Wilkie, a consultant with Boomer Consulting and former Chief Information Officer at Withum Smith Plus Brown. So thank you again for joining us today. So Rick, if we can maybe let you take the first shot at this, how do you see the introduction of all these technologies and kind of the transformation of the way accountants will be doing business and the types of services they provide affecting this, like the staffing at accounting firms and in accounting departments?
Well, let me try to put it into two pieces. Let's do the first piece and talk about some new brethren that are going to join the staff. And then secondly, let's go back and look at the skill sets for everybody within the accounting firm and how they're going to have to broaden. So let me start with the new brethren first, if you will. And there's two particular areas I think we ought to be talking. The first is what the business is calling a data scientist. The second, and which we'll cover after I talk about the first, is what I'll call a big data engineer, not a data engineer, but a big data engineer. In the data scientist classification, you're really looking at a combination of super technical skills and analytics. So they need to be able to program. They got to be able to handle statistics. They have to be able to handle large data sets. They've got to look, and they're usually going to be the people responsible. Jeff's going to talk about this when he gets to the audit side of all this stuff, with experimental design, so that if we are going to have new ways of testing and or analyzing existing data, they're the ones that are going to be the designers and modeling of complex economic and growth systems, even to that extent. And they're the ones the firm's going to rely on to take machine learning advancements and bring those into the practice itself. They're the same people that we would probably expect to see help actually develop the audit and advisory products we have. And they're responsible for putting the final communications together, which includes things like, you know, data visualization, actual presentations, that sort of thing. None of this stuff happens without being collaborative. So the teamwork capability for those kind of people is pretty important. On the other side, looking at the big data engineer, these guys are the guys that really understand all of these products we've been reading about, but don't know a thing about, whether it's Hadoop, Cloudera, MapReduce, you name it. They're the people that understand what SPSS is and how Weka works and what MATLAB does. All of this, these types of data mining and statistical analysis tools, they already come to the table with good skills. they also have to be able to program, and typically they're looking at either Java or Ruby or C++. They're involved in at least three other areas: data transformation, and there they're looking at extracting, transforming, and loading tools called ETLs. Data collection services, looking at these various APIs, the things that are tied to existing applications that let us get access to that data, and data warehousing. This whole issue of both relational and non-SQL databases, these are the people we're going to rely on to be able to use tools like MySQL and Oracle and DB2, and against non-SQL stuff like HBase and some of the other products that are out there. The ability of these two groups of people, the guys who handle the actual data itself and the data scientists who literally map and lay out all that stuff, are going to be crucial, I think, to firms providing the kind of services we're expecting them to have in the 5 to 8 year range out.
Rick, to add to that, I think you're absolutely spot on. And when I speak to young people today, I always encourage them, if they're studying accounting, throw in a computer science minor or a math minor, something that's going to give you that logic and help you kind of think in code. Or if you have the time, look into online courses or something that is going to give you kind of that computer science background to add to your accounting knowledge. I think if you marry those two abilities, then it's a home run in the profession.
This is one other thing I'd like to follow up on that is, in addition to that, I've been doing an awful lot of work with the academic community to try to get the accounting curriculums to more greatly embrace data analytics into their curriculum, as well as the computer science piece of this equation, because it needs to be a part of the core fabric. And some students will certainly branch out to go get that minor, which is absolutely very good. They're very good, strong self-starters. But I think it should be a core component of the curriculum to come out of the college and university with the requisite degree in this space, because it's very, very crucial that's a core fundamental skill set that's needed on a go-forward basis.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense, but I do think ultimately, though, accounting firms and accounting departments are going to be, instead of a bunch of accountants working together, there will be accountants, but there'll also be, the data experts and the coders working together. So it'll be kind of a new environment in the future, and collaboration will be important. Al, do you see that kind of happening with actual audit teams? How do you see the staffing for those evolving?
Well, obviously there'll be a lot of collaboration, and just to kind of circle back, one quick thing is there, I saw some recent statistics that basically says hiring is up in CPA firms. Hiring of degreed accountants in CPA firms is down. So basically what's already happening, firms are positioning themselves to get a more diverse set of skills in their firm. And it's just like in today's world is when you do even a traditional audit, you'll put the right people on the audit team if you need a certain set of specific skills. It's really kind of interesting is lots of firms way back when, and I know I'm dating myself, used to say, well, do I need a computer audit specialist connected to this engagement because they've got a sophisticated computer back in the day. And it was always amazing to me even back then how firms thought they could audit around the computer, let alone today. And so there is going to be a complement skill set where the team all understands enough of the core. But I'm going to take advantage of the skill set because a data scientist coming up with the data analytics and the algorithms to support that, that's going to transcend a lot of clients in a lot of different industries. And so they're going to be working with a lot more clients and coming up with analytics. and the people that will be doing the interpretation, because we got the data scientist that's helping with the analytics and the algorithms likely won't be doing all the interpretation and the follow-up of the output. The other person on the staff, the CPA that's got the baseline of analytics and understanding of big data, they'll do the following up on these outliers and these notable items. So it's going to be a very exciting cross-functional set of team. I mean, I tell staff, young kids today in public accounting and even in college, I said, this is the most exciting time to get into this profession than I've ever seen, because we are finally, as a profession, moving our mindset and our culture away from the old to the new. And you can be sort of like at the precipice of really seeing and experiencing that exciting change, because let's face it. I mean, what person coming out of college with an accounting degree wants to spend the rest of the next first 3 years of their life tracing the invoices? You know, that's way old school. We have to become much more provocative.
I've also talked to some of the mid-level firms that in the maybe top 50, top 60, several of them are looking to reverse the process. That is, they're bringing in data scientists, data analysts, and bringing the accounting and getting them taught in accounting. So in essence, what they're saying is, in some cases, we need the technical skills first and the accounting skills second. And so the ability to bring that to bear on the practice is going to be more and more important. And the generalist that sits above all this has got to get better acquainted with all of the disciplines these guys are bringing to the audit, because we still require that partner who's got the understanding of the overall business of the client to be able to do that interpreting for the client. And they can't if they don't understand what all these troops are doing out in the field.
That is so correct.
Yeah, Rick, and I think that kind of goes to show what a shortage we have in the profession of those data scientists. If we're bringing folks in and we think it's easier to teach them the accounting side of the house, and to Al's point, it shows a bit of a deficiency of those skills in the educational programs.
Agreed.
And so, you know, just as an outsider, you know, looking at this, you know, is it really realistic to expect someone to be at an expert level with the data stuff and with all the accounting rules and, you know, just the rules for making sure, you know, books pass muster with, you know, regulatory bodies? And
Jeff, I think that's a purple unicorn that we're really all looking for. I don't think it's realistic to expect them to be at the expert level in both. That's where the collaboration comes in. But you do need to have a bit of knowledge in both. It's going to be very important to understand, you know, the logic behind it in with the data, but also be able to communicate what the data means to the client.
Well, let me add a little piece to that if I could, Jeff, and that is I wanted to come back to the second topic I wanted to talk about, which was what I call professional quotients. What things should the professionals practicing in the next decade really be? If you're responsible for HR, what are you looking for? And I picked six out. There were seven in a recent survey, and I didn't buy all of them. But the six that I picked out were technical and ethical competencies. And so you've still got the requirement of all those people that handle SEC review and reporting requirements and disclosure and all that stuff, and those that understand the issues associated with what work we can and can't do. Second, an intelligence quotient, just the ability to acquire and use knowledge, get good reasoning and solving problems. Creativity, we haven't really given a lot of credit to this in the past, and I think coming up with new ideas, new solutions, making connections to things that already exist is really going to be crucial in this next phase of our profession. A digital quotient, we've been talking a lot about that in detail with respect to the kinds of analytics, but an awareness of what's out there, an awareness of applications and issues and concerns and stuff that hasn't totally been figured out yet, so that that smart partner can ask the young data scientist, listen, do they really have this particular thing fixed yet? Or are we going to have to work around it? The fifth is vision. I think anybody who isn't looking out even 5 years farther is doing their firm a disservice. So that vision quotient, I think, is pretty critical. And finally, just an experience quotient itself. You learn something by being around clients all day. The fact that you understand their business sometimes better than they do provides you with a rich opportunity to be a real value adder to their business. And so if you took technical, intelligence, creativity, digital, vision, and experience, I think you get people with those, or as many of those capabilities as you can, and you're going to have a firm that's going to be very successful.
You know, and Jeff, I agree with what Rick said and Amanda, and it's really clear to me is we're not, I was not trying to say that there needs to be one person that is that quote purple unicorn. We need to make sure that we have all the skills, but those that don't have the expertise skills in one area at least has enough baseline understanding so that they know what makes sense. So the collaboration and the skill and leveraging on each other's strengths, but knowing enough about the other aspects really will create a very powerful scenario from which to help the auditor make much better decisions. And more importantly, transfer those decisions and analysis and understanding to some insight to the client. Because Rick said a real important point is when an auditor does an audit, they really get the keys to the kingdom at the client to get all the information. And we need to empower them to start asking questions, to dig, to understand their business, because then more importantly, there's a real key component of they can share some insight about what they learned about their business that they might not have thought of. So there will be a value add component that could certainly come from this as well.
All right. Well, that's good. So, and you know, I think, you know, if I'm in, you know, I'm in my mid 40s, and if I'm a CPA in my mid 40s and I'm thinking, you know, I'm listening to this, I'm like thinking, what am I going to have to learn? What should I do now? You know, obviously the young kids know it's going to be different as they come in, and they have a lot more experience with technology, and they can learn things kind of from scratch as we head into this brave new world. But, you know, AICPA CEO Barry Melanson has said at a couple of conferences I've been at that he's concerned for the mid-career folks who are going to have to kind of unlearn some things and relearn others. And so what do you think CPA should be doing now to get ready? And I'll open the floor to everybody on this.
Well, Jeff, I'd say one thing they need to do is they need to leverage those younger people that are coming out of school and have those skills that you just named. That's a tremendous resource for them. You know, a younger person can be a mentor very well. And you know, it's never too late to learn new skills and take in new information. And there are tons of resources out there on all of these technology topics that we've talked about. The AICPA, I think, has done a tremendous job being a source of information on things like blockchain. There's YouTube videos, there are online classes, there are classes at local schools, there are meetup groups. So if you're interested in whether it's blockchain, machine learning, AI, you can find sources out there. And I think right now that's the most important thing. People really need to start educating themselves.
I'm going to be much tougher. I think if I were running this profession and everybody had to report to me, I'd bump the 80 hours of CPE to 160. And 80 of those hours would have to be in new technology. So I just think it's so important that you've got to set goals for yourself that almost seem unreachable, but we just need to do them. There was a marvelous piece, if your audience wants to look it up, from the Huffington Post on September 28th of last year. They put out 9 of the best free courses available to get yourself current. They mentioned Coursera and a couple of courses that PwC has put together for Coursera on data-driven decision-making. EdX with their new data science essentials. Udacity has put a whole program together on machine learning. IBM now offers the data science fundamentals for senior executives. California Institute of Technology has a whole thing on learning from data that is kind of the starting course for many of the data analytics courses. There's stuff on data mining, you name it. I would recommend that article at least as a starting point for where things are going. The other one is a free course that Harvard is offering. Harvard professor Janelle Nelson now offers a course on algorithms for big data, and it's free. It's 25 lectures done on YouTube. You just go out to YouTube and type in Harvard and algorithms for big data. And it's amazing. And that's going to lead to a lot of other stuff for you. So if I had to do it, I'd say start by doubling your CPE because you don't have a choice. And secondly, really monitoring that just as though you had to report it yourself to keep yourself current.
And the last thing I would add to this whole discussion is you've got to hardwire these techniques right into your process now. Is when you get the training and you go to the and get all this information and do all this stuff, that's all well and good. But if you don't put it into real life practice immediately, it's not going to be nearly as valuable as leveraging it in real life practice. So if you're a mid-career CPA, start working with these younger people. And there's a guide that the AACPA came up with called just data analytics. It's an update to the audit analytics guide. There's some techniques in there that are really practical to deploy right now that will start you down the path. So if you get the training and you get and you are motivated to do that, or you're required to do it through CPE, and then you leverage it through implementing it in a real life situation, that's where you really get the power of all of this, because now you are actually using it. And that's what's most important is firms talk about data extraction, they talk about data analytics, and they say, well, I'll get to it just as soon as I have time. Well, until you make it a requirement of the job to put it in, use it in this engagement and actually even define it, it's not going to happen. It'll happen in some very ad hoc and random situations where there's a real strong self-starter wanting to do it. But, you know, Rick's point of pushing them down the path, there's a lot of our profession that need that nudge or that push. And so that's a good point, because that really is important. And then implementing it in a real life situation on real life clients will then just take it to that next level.
And of course, all of this is a challenge because we know that there is limited time. And speaking of limited time, we are about done with our time for this part 2 of the Accounting Technology Roundtable podcast. So before we go, I want to thank all of you for your time and your expertise. You have given our audience and CPAs everywhere a lot to think about. But it's also a very exciting time for the profession, and there are a lot of opportunities. So I want to thank you again for being on today. I want to thank our audience as well for spending this time with us. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out more JFA podcasts on our website, journalofaccountancy.com, and on Podomatic.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, The services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.